Truth and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Demons will tremble and sinners awake. Faith in Jehovah, can anything shake? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus,
yes,
this morning.
Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Let's get right into the Word this morning. Let's get right into the Word.
Praise thy name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus.
Sometimes it's good to go back. Us that are Christians, things when we were back in the world, and to remember the time when you were in that cage of bondage, where you were in the prison house of sin, and then one day Jesus came and He did set you free. It makes it a little bit easier to sing that song with all your heart when you go, man, I was miserable, I was a wretch, I was poor, naked, blind, I didn't even know it. But Jesus came by and He wouldn't leave me that way, but He came and He set me free.
Amen.
You have something to be appreciative of.
Yes.
When you realize what He's done for us. Exodus. Second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 3. I don't know if he'll sneak in here, but if he doesn't, even if he does, I've been having Brother Kent really strong in my heart lately, so go and lift him up in prayer as well, if you think about him. Exodus 3, verse 13. Can anybody else say you miss him when he ain't here?
Amen.
Amen. I think he'd... You know, it's just like that when somebody dies or something like and they pass on or you don't see them no more, that's the times when you realize what it was like to have them around. You don't really know what you have until it's gone. And that's what I think a lot when I don't see Brother Kent sitting there. Exodus 3:13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I am coming to the children of Israel, shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. And this is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations but Laodicea. Is that what that says in there? No, unto all generations. Amen. And when the Bible says all, I like this. You know, a lot of times the department store will say, all ham on sale. Until you go find the one you want, for some reason it ain't on sale. Oh, that's the special case. Well, that's what's nice about the Word of God. When it says all, it means all. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean there's any exception. There's no special rule hidden in there. He said this would be his name to all generations. The I am. Not the I was, not the I will be. The I am. John chapter 8. Go ahead and help me preach today. Amen. Sister Sproles, you can help me preach this morning. Thank you, sis. John chapter 8, now verse 21. Starting at verse 20. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whether I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. Now listen closely. For if ye believe that not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. There's the dividing line. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God made flesh, you will die in your sins. You cannot be saved. Verse 25, then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Go down to verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And he shall be called the I Am. Amen. This morning. He shall be called the I Am. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for giving us a place to worship you, knowing that in many places this isn't even legal anymore, Lord. They have to hide in caves and under houses and things like that. But you've given us free course, Lord. You've even given us cars. You've given us food. You've given us houses. You've blessed us so much, Lord. And Father, I pray you help us to not be these unappreciative creatures that we tend to be. Father, we can just lift our hands and thank you this morning for all the wonderful things you've done for us. Thank you for our good health. Thank you for giving us, more than anything, a desire to serve you, Father, that we would come to the house of God this morning. And I pray that every soul that's here, Lord, you'd be able to come down, Father, and may they look past this human flesh called Andrew Crussell and see that Jesus Christ has come this morning to speak to them. Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you so much for your promises, Lord, that you said wherever two or three would gather, that you would be in the midst, Father. And I believe we're in a group of people that believe that this morning. Move amongst the people, Lord. May the word become flesh in us, Father. May it not just sit on these pages, but may we know that we met with Almighty God today.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and ask these things to be so. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Yes,
you may be
Lord.
Seated.
Yes.
So we look at the scripture this morning. We read there back in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses came to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. Most of us are familiar with the story. They were in bondage over there in Egypt, and they needed to deliver. They needed to get out of Egypt. They didn't want to be in bondage anymore. And that's what a real child of God feels like when you're walking out in the world, doing the things of the world. There's something on the inside that says, this is not right. I am in bondage. I need a deliverer. And when God came to deliver the children of Israel, he sent Moses. And he says, Moses, go down and deliver Israel from the hand of Egypt, from Egypt. And when Moses went down, before he could even go down, he knew, look, they're going to think this is crazy. See, we got hindsight 2020 again. Moses was an 80-year-old man. The children of Israel hadn't seen Moses in 40 years. They'd forgotten all about that guy. He was out there in the desert somewhere. Just imagine. Imagine if you, look, 40 years old is older than just about half, almost everybody in this room. Ain't even 40 years old. And Moses had been gone that long. You wonder why they forgot about him so easy. And when he was out there in the desert, God comes down in a pillar of fire. Now look, if you're just here to have a run or normal church service, you're going to see me and go, okay, let's go home, let's have lunch. But if you can look past that and say, the pillar of fire is showing up to do something in our lives, that'll change the service for you. And Moses had a good church service out there one day, 40 years backslidden, God still came to him. In a burning bush. And he talked to this burning bush. He realized that was the Almighty God. And he believed it. Yeah, how could he doubt that? You couldn't talk Moses out of it. He saw it there. What if they went and said, Moses, burn, bushes don't burn and stay there. Okay, they turn into ashes. He said, it doesn't matter what you tell me, Moses would say. Because I watched it happen. I was standing right there when it happened.
Sure.
People act like divine healing. Oh, you know, that was just a coincidence. Well, yeah, it might have been for you. You weren't there. I was there when it happened. God is the same.
Amen.
And when Moses was there talking to that burning bush, he wanted to relay this message to the children of Israel. It was his heart desire, his whole life. He knew, I'm the deliverer. I'm the one that God is sending to deliver Israel. He's sending me, but I'm not equipped to go down there yet. And that's why he asked. When I go down to tell the children of Israel that you're fulfilling your word that they all know about, and I know I'm the one you're sending down there to do it, what name do I tell them you are called?
Amen.
He needed a name to tell them who was coming down to deliver them. Because they had gods. They had the Egyptian gods. They had this god of the moon, god of the earth, the sun, god of the cows. They had all these gods. Who's this god that's going to actually do something for us?
Amen.
You tried to go to the other gods lately? Go to the God of TV. Does that do any good for anybody? You might feel good for about 10 minutes and you go, man, I got an emptiness on the inside from doing that. Or the God of food. Maybe if I just eat the right meal, I'll feel good. No, you won't. You'll feel good for a little bit and then you'll get a headache because you ate too much. That ain't the joy of the Lord. That ain't what we're here to find. We're here to find Christ. Because God made us with a part in us that can never be satisfied until Jesus Christ comes into that void.
Amen.
And as Moses was looking, what is his name that I might go down there and deliver Israel? Just to think what Moses thought when he said this. I am that I am. The one that promised Abraham that you would only be down here 400 years. I am that one that was back there, but I am still I am. I was, yes, back there, but I'm not sending you with a message of I was. A lot of churches like to send a message of I was.
And even in the message, it's that way now. Oh, look what God did for Brother Branham. Look, when Brother Branham would preach, oh my, the anointing would come down. And then you go, what's wrong with us then? Is he the same today or not? Did he die 40 years ago? And that was it? There's no more God. It was all used up. There ain't no more Holy Ghost. We ran it all out. Jesus said it'd be a well of everlasting life.
Amen.
Which means it never stops. It's always bubbling.
Right.
And I'm not here to point you back to an I was God. I'm here to point you to the I am. And if you can get a revelation in this service that Jesus Christ is the I am right now, you'll walk out a different person.
Sure.
You come in sick. Whoa, that was fine. That was I was sick. But I am said I'm healed.
Amen.
And I am is this moment. You can walk out of here well.
Amen.
You walk in here, I was lost. Come in and meet the I am one time. You'll say, I am saved.
Uh-huh.
Lord. I came empty. I was empty. I'm leaving full. Because God's going to fill me anew with the Holy Ghost, or He's going to fill me the first time. As long as you get filled, that's what we're here for.
Right.
And when God, look, Moses could have said, well, yeah, that was pretty good, God, but don't you got a little bit more? He didn't say that. He knew, this is all I need. This is all I need, because this means God is always going to be with us.
Uh-huh.
See, if you live in the past or the future, you're always going to miss God. If you read the Bible like a history book, and those were good stories. Oh, David. Oh, I just love listening about David, the things God did for David. And you say, praise God, that's good. Oh, look over here in the millennium. Look at all these wonderful things that's going to happen. That's good as well. But if you miss what's going on right now, you might as well forget it. You're not going to partake with David because you ain't going to see him, and you're not going to be in the millennium. You're going to miss it. Because they always miss their visitation in their day.
Sure. That's right.
As we read there at the end, God said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And you can see later, He says, God is the God of the living, which shows that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were still alive somewhere.
Right.
He's never the God of the dead. Never. Never. And that's what all false gods, just about all of them, go back to some guy way back here. And they build up his legacy as some great thing, when he was just probably some ordinary man, just like everyone else. And they build up God off something from the past that doesn't happen now.
Right.
But that's why Christianity is the one religion that's different. You can prove it today the same it was 2,000 years ago. You can do the same works that Christ did.
Yes, you can.
And prove that He's still alive. Because there ain't no mortal can raise the dead. I can't give you enough medicine to raise the dead. Medicine only helps. It doesn't even heal. Did you ever think about that one time? Let's cut your arm off. And then let's sew it back on and tell me what medicine are you going to shoot that with to make it come back. It heals itself. Why? Because God is the healer. The only one that can heal.
Amen.
He is the God of the living, never the God of the dead. He's always the God of the present. He was the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And then He says, this is my name forever. So never, never does God want us to build some memorial and then say, oh, that's what God was, but it's changed now. Never. Never does He want us to do that. If He had the same power to come down and split the Red Sea, you don't think He could split the depression in your life and give you joy?
Sure.
And I still believe He can move water too. I'm not going to limit it. All this, everything's just super, it's all spiritual. Nothing ever comes in the natural. You're just as good Jehovah's Witness now. They say Christ already came in the Spirit. And some people in the message even believe that. No, look, the spiritual is what starts, and then the natural expresses.
Amen.
What happened.
That's exactly
See, it's
that.
Good to say, I believe I'm healed. But if your body never gets healed, how can you prove that you believe it?
Right.
It needs to come to pass. Amen. Everything starts in the spiritual and then manifests in the natural.
Amen.
That's why when you see somebody and you start watching sin start coming out, you need to trail that back before you're gonna find out why it's happening.
Right.
Because it happened in the spirit first.
Amen.
Somewhere you let Satan creep into your mind, and that's why you produce this work.
Amen.
And usually what happens, we lose track that God is the I am. So when you're sitting there at home, you're all by yourself. You think, I'm by myself. I just do whatever I want. God's not watching. Nobody's here to see this. Wait, God is still the I am. That means He's right there. He's standing right next to you. Just like this church service. You might be looking at me thinking, oh man, I wish Brother Andrew would move on and start reading some of his quotes. But that ain't what we're here for. We're here to hear from the I am. Right now.
Uh-huh.
Say, God, I need You to speak to me. Let Brother Andrew say something that speaks to me. Well, recognize He's the I am. Put faith in it, and He'll put the words in my mouth for you. Amen.
Sure.
He is the I am. And He said, this is my name to all generations. And that includes this one. As we read there in John chapter 8,
go back there again. John chapter 8, and let's go down to verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. Now why was Christ able to say this? Because he knew the end from the beginning. He knew that they are not going to believe, they will die in their sins. And he says why? For if ye believe not that I am he. Now anybody know when an italicized word is in the King James, what that means? Is that the King James translators, when they took this from Greek or Hebrew, in English, we use a lot more words than they do in Hebrew. In Greek, there's a lot of implied words. And we do it too in English a lot of times. I say, get. What I really mean to say, Dawson, get out of here. But look, I just used one word because you got what I was trying to say. And that's what I mean here when it says, I am. And if you look at he, it's italicized. Does everybody see that? Uh-huh. It's italicized, which means they put it in there to help you understand what was going on. But what Jesus said was, I am. Which means when he puts the he there, he is talking specifically about a certain person. Not that I exist right now, but I am that I am that was back there in the burning bush. I'm the I am that came in David and spoke out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm the one that stood in the fiery furnace with the children of Israel. That was me. I am the I am. And if you don't believe that I'm the I am, you will die in your sins. Uh-huh. That's how important this is. If you start putting Christ anywhere but the present, you'll miss it. You won't be in any rapture. You won't receive the Holy Ghost. You put it off somewhere else. You either put it off in the future or in the past. And either way, you'll miss it every time. Amen. Because right here, they had their visitation. Christ was standing right there talking to them. How many of us wish we could have been sitting there? Sure. I know I wish I could have saw him standing right there. But look, in the Spirit, it's so much better now. Because wherever we are, there he is.
Amen.
That's what he said. I will give you my Spirit that wherever I am, you are also. Yes. So we don't got to go even find the I am. The I am is always with us.
Amen.
Which is good if you ain't living in sin. But if you are, it's a terrible thing to think. Because that's what we think we're getting away with stuff, you know. Oh, God didn't see me click that. Oh, yeah, he did. And he wants to see what you're going to do about it now.
Right.
If you're a child of God, though, he'll come around. Give you a little time to see if you'll repent. If you don't, you'll get a spanking somehow. Don't be surprised you get sick or something. The first thing to do is not to go beat yourself in the head 50 times or give yourself a cat and nine tails. Just say, God, I'm sorry.
Amen.
I'm sorry I did that. I know I shouldn't have done that. Make it right with him and say, you're still the I am. You still forgave me. That means you forgive me now.
Amen.
If he forgave you once, he forgave you for time and eternity.
Yes.
Because look at this. When did Christ die on the cross? 2,000 years ago. All your sins were future tense.
Yes.
You ever think of that? None of them. You had not even got here yet. All your sins were future tense, and he already died for all of them. So when we make mistakes now, it's not time to grope around and go, oh God, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. Were you worthy before? Of course not. How did you get out? By faith that he is the I am. Right this moment, I can get my sins erased if I just ask him.
Yes.
He's ever faithful. He's always present. Jesus even emphasizes in 21st verse, he says, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Christ has never brought a new message. Do we understand what the whole Christian experience is? Redemption. Redemption, which means there was something and it fell, and the whole point is to get it back where it was.
Yes, amen.
You go back to the Garden of Eden. God looked at everything and says, it is very good.
Uh-huh.
No sin, no sickness, no heartache, no confusion.
Right.
Everything in perfect peace. Everything in perfect harmony. And it took one day of sin. Destroyed the whole picture.
Right.
Meaning went from up here as a son of God. God made flesh. Because that's what a son of God is.
Yes.
Is where God can manifest himself in another being. Because we are made in his image. Amen. And he was there. He was the I am. He was ever present. But what happened? They decided they wanted to try sin out. And make God into a I was. He's not here watching right now. He was watching before. But now we're on some kind of sin radar that he can't see. And then later he'll come back after we're done doing what we want to do. Uh-huh. Isn't that what Adam and Eve thought? They thought, oh, I don't feel his presence, so he's not here. Yes, he is, because he knows all things. God is not like the wind, where he's just some
thing that you can't. He is a being, all right? He's a being just like us, or else how can we be made in his image if he's not a being? But if he knows everything, he can be everywhere. Right. He knows all about it. He doesn't have to really go there, but he knows all about it. So you can't hide a thing from him. He is always the I am.
Amen.
And even when we read down there, we read it earlier where he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day.
Yes, Lord.
Because he knew. Abraham knew it. He met Melchizedek. He knew who that man was. Melchizedek was Christ in another human body, but it was the same God.
Yes.
The same God the whole time. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Glory to God.
Watching a star, 59. You know, a lot of churches will read that scripture. Actually, let me just quote it to you. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. He's always been the same. He never has to change. Why? Because everything he was perfect. He never had to come up with a better way. He's never had a new thought. Try to wrap your mind around that one time where you never have new thoughts. Where you've already, every thought that could be thought, you already thought it. And you never thought it because it always was. Yeah, you're not going to get to that level of trying to understand that. It's by faith that we accept these things. And they'll read the scripture where it says, I'm the Lord and I change not. And they'll, you know, the denominations a lot of times, even a lot of message churches, it doesn't matter. God is no respecter of persons. They'll come around and say, oh yeah, God did do that. And you go, well, why can't you do it now? Well, things are different now. Well, that just means that the Bible lied, because I thought it said the Lord don't change.
Right.
He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. How can we come when we ain't got rest?
Amen.
Are you coming to him? A little tough statement, I suppose.
Sure.
Sitting there trying to absorb. Hebrews 13:8 also says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today. Let me emphasize that. And today and forever.
Amen.
And they'll read that. They go, yeah, that's true. That's true. But just in this certain way. You know, God is still a healer, but he has to use medicine. And you know, we can't really just have perfect faith and stuff. And no, it doesn't work that way. Oh, yeah, God did raise the dead. But, you know, that was back there in the Bible times. What? I hate hearing that. You hate hearing that? I hate hearing that. That was back in the Bible times. When the Bible times end. Last I checked, the book of Revelations took care of it from all the way from there all the way to the end.
Sure.
So this is it. This is what's going to happen for the next 2,000 years.
Amen.
There ain't no non-Bible times.
Right.
The Bible didn't start. It was eternal.
Amen.
John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and it was God.
Amen.
Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. But what does the Bible say in 1 John? If the Spirit confesses that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh, that is Antichrist.
Amen.
So yeah, you say, okay, I believe that. I believe the Word was made flesh back in Jesus Christ's day. That's not good enough. The devil knows that now. He got whooped by him on Calvary.
Amen.
He can't deny it no more. He knows he's the Son of God. What's he trying to do now? He couldn't conquer the Son of God. He's trying to conquer one of you that are a son or daughter of God. Try to get you to doubt it. Because if he can get you to doubt it, he's got you whipped. Because the devil ain't got no power. He was stripped of all his power 2,000 years ago. All those people in the Old Testament would come up to the grave and be afraid because they didn't know what would happen after death. But no, we had a man that died and rose again and showed,
amen,
I'm alive forevermore. This is what happens when you die.
Lord Jesus.
If you leave your body, you're going to come be where I am.
Praise God.
And that's where I want to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Exciting. Amen.
He's the same. And I'm going to read what Brother Bram says here and kind of spoil it for you. This is talking about when the three wise men, you guys remember the story of the wise men, they were following the star to go to Christ. And they came to Jerusalem, and they didn't see the star no more. And they start asking around Jerusalem, hey, guys, who's the king? You guys see the king? Where's the king at? But Jerusalem didn't have the answer. I'm reading now. The scripture says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The church don't have the answer for that. They say, he's partly what he was. He still wants us to preach the gospel, but signs and wonders don't appear yet. Oh, yeah. And yeah, we'll just preach. That's the greater works. That ain't the greater works. Brother Bram said that. Yeah, the preaching the gospel is fine. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But I'll show you greater works. I'll watch God create squirrels out of nothing. You find me one time in the Bible Christ did that.
Right.
He didn't do it. Why? Because he saved those works for us.
Amen.
Because he's not he's not jealous of you. Who's going to take away from God?
Right.
Who's going to make him less than what he is?
Sure.
He had all these great works, and he did. He proved who he was, but he saved some works for the bride in the end time.
Amen.
And that's what we should be walking in. Go ahead and help me preach now. Jesus said, go into all the world. How far? All the world. And 2/3 of the earth has never heard the gospel yet. Can we walk across the street and tell somebody about Christ? Or are we too far in Laodicea where we think that we don't need to do that no more? Oh, we're gleaning the fields, brother. There ain't nobody left to be saved. Then what are we doing around here? I thought when the last one came in, we were going home.
Right.
That means ain't somebody ain't saved yet.
Right.
Ain't somebody ain't got the Holy Ghost yet, and they need to hear the word.
Amen.
And that's our responsibility.
Yes,
God gave it to us to go preach to all the world. That was his first thing. First commandment was, go.
Amen.
What's our first commandment? Sit. You know, do nothing. Yeah, waiting on the Lord's good, but he said go. That's waiting on the Lord. He already told you what to go do.
Right.
Or we get the other problem where God says, go paint the barn, and we go clean the kitchen. You didn't do what he said. Go, what is the next word? Preach the gospel. And what is preaching the gospel? These signs follow them that believe. It's not just fancy words. Those words need to come alive in the people.
Amen.
And if nothing's coming out of the ministry, it's not of God. That's it. Brother Branham didn't even make himself an exception for that. He said, if God doesn't come by here and vindicate what I just said, don't believe me.
Amen.
And any minister should be to the same line. If we pray for the sick 50 times and they all die, something wrong.
Uh-huh.
That's not what happened in the book of Acts. It said they healed them every one.
Yes, it does.
Continue to read here. Sometimes I don't know why I do that because it's just right here. Just so you know, that's the Holy Ghost, I suppose, sometimes. Preach the gospel. What is the gospel? Paul said the gospel came not only through the word, but through power and demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. And these signs shall accompany those that believe. Oh, that's what we need today, brother, here tonight. If your church don't believe in that, look, he don't give you an excuse for this. He says if your church don't believe in that, you get it in your heart tonight and take it back to the church. And you know what's going to happen in this day? You get a real revelation that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You get filled with the Holy Ghost and try to go to a denomination and tell them about it. They're going to get you out the door in no time. The world's asking today, where is that God? Where is the one that used to be? Where is that God of history? If the God of history isn't the same God today, what good does a God of history do you?
Amen.
What good does it do if he's just in the past? It's not a very good God. Why did he leave for this little space of time? He had all eternity. Why did he leave for the last 50 years? It's a message people like to say a lot of times. Oh, he's off the scene. He'll come back. Why is there this one time he's not here? And that's nonsense. He's always here.
Amen.
What good does a God of history do you if he isn't the same today? What happened to the great Jehovah, the all-powerful one, the El Shaddai, the I Am? Not the I was, the I am. What happened to him? There's nothing happened to him. It happened to the people.
Amen.
That's the problem. God don't change. I can't stand when people blame God. They're not trying to blame God, but they really are.
Yeah.
They say, oh, if God gave me a revelation of my healing, I'd be healed. What are you talking about?
Sure.
The revelation's already in the word. It's your fault you ain't accepted it by faith yet.
Amen.
You can walk out of here healed of anything. It doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
He didn't limit it to something. He said all things are possible to them that believe.
All things.
So when things don't happen, and you say, well, I believe, or I sought God, and God never came to me, and I've been looking for the Holy Ghost for 20 years, and God never gave it to me, and you act like God's some big brute keeping his goodness from you, you're a liar. God didn't withhold any goodness from anybody. You don't believe him.
Amen.
You ain't accept his atonement yet. You ain't been born again.
Amen.
Jehovah Jireh 55. As I have said to you, what good does it do to us to have a God of history if it isn't the same today? See, it wouldn't do no good. And he talks about America. We can go back and look at George Washington and go, man, what a president. And he was. He was a mighty man of valor, I would say. George Washington was a man of character. A man that would stand up for what was right. And would make the people in Washington nowadays, they'd make him roll over in his grave if he saw what they were doing now. What good does it do for America to go idolize George Washington or Abraham Lincoln or Patrick Henry and all these? Is it Patrick Henry? Is that his name? I don't know anymore. I've been out of school too long, I guess. At least in the history class. What good would it do us to go idolize them? Nothing. If the same character that was in them is not in us now, we will never get the same results.
Right. Amen.
Christ is revealing his own word, 65. There, it's after the seals, right? Now this is real inspired.
When every scripture in the Bible has the same application, you've got to set it in its place. And to misplace it, you might make him a God in one age, and the next age, you make him a history. To misplace it. So you mustn't misplace the scripture. He is God all the time. If you made him today a God of history, what was back yonder, and he isn't the same today, what are you going to do with Hebrews 13:8? I ask the question all the time. If God can't do exactly what he did in the scriptures in this day, what does Hebrews 13:8 mean? They don't have an answer. They'll give you an excuse, but they don't have an answer. See, he's the same yesterday and forever. Now, so, see, what would this do? What has it done? It's already done it. Make him deny his own word when you misplace the scriptures.
Right, amen.
And that's the first revelation you have to have when you read this Bible, is that it does not contradict itself.
Never.
If God said, I am God and I change not, and you come out with some interpretation that says God changed, you're wrong. The word's right. You just ain't got the right revelation yet. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Glory to God.
This might be simple, but I tell you what, if this comes to pass in our lives, things would be different. If people had a revelation of I am when they walk into this building, they'd have a little bit more reverence, a little bit more dedication to these things, to realize that God is standing here watching us.
Amen. It's true.
Not with eyes of judgment. He loves us. He wants us to do what's right. And if any good son that really loves their father wants to make daddy happy. They want daddy to look down and say, I'm proud of you, son. And what do you think God thinks a lot of times when we come to church and we're too busy thinking about something we're doing tomorrow or what we did yesterday? We don't even give him time. How about when you go home and you're laying in bed and he's standing in the corner waiting for you to talk to him today? You went all day and didn't talk to him.
Sure, amen.
Because you didn't recognize that he's the I am. He was, yeah. You might have prayed this morning. That's fine. The Bible says pray at all times.
Amen.
Because he's always here. He always wants us to talk to him. He always wants to have fellowship. That's why he created us. That's our responsibility, is to have fellowship with him. And when do we miss it? When we don't think he's the I am right now. Question and answers. 64. Excuse me. God's word is right and all others contrary is wrong. Do you believe that this
Amen.
Morning?
That's true.
That don't matter whatever comes. If it ain't in the word of God, it ain't right. I don't care who he is. Message preacher and all. Let's just throw the whole pope, bishop, doesn't matter. If what he says ain't this word, it ain't right.
That's right.
It's the devil.
Yes, sir.
Let my word be true, this is Jesus, and every man's word be a lie. See it? That's where we want to do it. I believe it. Is believe it. Now remember, we are not the word, but we are the word. Amen. Now listen to this. Listen to this. We're not the word, but we are the word. Uh-huh. Now, you got it? Jesus was not God, but he was God. And you go, brother, that don't make no sense. Well, look, God is the Almighty. How come Jesus was getting pushed around? Think of that for a while. God never can die, never started, never ends. Jesus has a birthday and he has a death date. You got to realize that Jesus was both God and man at the same time. The whole time. He was always both. He never became one and not the other, vice versa. He was always both. And when he was on earth, that flesh body that he lived in, it wasn't nothing special. It was just like you and me, made out of the same stuff we're made out of.
Amen.
Anybody won't think their body's God? I hate this thing. And what did Jesus fight the whole time? What his body was trying to fulfill, which was live for itself. That's what fallen creation always does. Live for themselves. And if you get to a place where you're living for yourself, you're not fulfilling the word. You're making God the I was, because the I am lives for others.
Amen.
He was man, yet he was God. Now watch, listen. This is talking about Christ himself. He could cry, and yet he could raise the dead. Did you ever think of that? He could cry, yet he could raise the dead. What was he crying about? If he knew that he could raise him from the dead, why would he cry? Because he was still human. And to think, he was sitting there going, man, my friend is in the grave. And he was experiencing what we do when our loved ones die. He felt that. Because he had to be tempted in all points just like we were. But then the God that was on the inside stood up and said, Lazarus, come forth. Can any of our voice make somebody come out of the grave that's been dead 4 days? Of course not. But the voice of God can. Amen. And if the voice of God can get into you, to where you and him become one, where you become the word like he's the word,
Amen.
That voice that'll come out will be him, and it has to come to pass.
Yes,
Brother Branham said, if a man will take the word with a hand of faith and put it in his lips, it's the same as deity speaking.
Amen.
Why do you think he said, whatsoever you say, whatsoever you ask, I will give it to you? Because it's not you speaking, it's him speaking. But you and him has become one.
Amen.
Now watch this. I'm going to continue reading. Brother Brandon will get into this. Jesus was not God, but he was God. He was a man, yet he was God. He could cry, but he could raise the dead. He could cry for a man being dead and raise him back up again. He was Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Manasseh. He was Jehovah all completely. Amen. He was Jehovah, and yet he was a man. And if we're made in his image, why do we get so surprised that we go through the same things?
Amen.
He owned the earth and made the earth and had not a place to lay his head.
Right.
Think of that. He made us. He made our hearts. He gave us breath. He gave us life. He gives us joy. And we don't give him a place to lay in our lives.
Uh-huh, amen.
God have mercy on us. He said, the birds that I made has got nest, and I haven't got a place to lay my head. The foxes that I created have holes in the ground, and I haven't even got one myself even to be buried in. That's right. He had to borrow someone's grave to be buried in. You remember that? Joseph of Arimathea. That was really his tomb.
Right.
And he had to borrow a tomb to be grave, to be buried in. He had to borrow a stable to be born in.
Uh-huh.
He had to borrow an occupation off Joseph because that wasn't even his father.
Right.
And he had to borrow off a job just to make by. And he's the creator of the universe.
Amen.
Doesn't that show you the character of God? See, he's so humble we can't even fathom being that humble. We try to be humble, right? We try not to exalt ourselves. But a man can't get too low. The second he gets real low like he needs to be, he's got to think of something good about himself to get back up again. But Jesus never had to do that because he knew exactly who he was. When he knew he was going to raise from the dead, do you think it mattered anymore when he got beat and striped and yelled at and all that? It didn't matter no more because he knew, I'm going to raise from the dead. And he could look past it and go, look, I'm going to spend heaven with my children. This doesn't matter right now.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's good. I love you, Jesus.
He had to borrow, and this is a good one too. He had to borrow someone's grave to be buried in. He created a womb that was in a woman, and he had no womb to be born in. He had to borrow a womb. So even when he got here, he borrowed Mary's womb. Because remember, Mary didn't have nothing to do with it. He was just living in there.
Right.
He had to borrow a womb to be born in. He created the earth and had not a place to be buried in. He had to borrow a hole in the ground to be buried in. Joseph of Arimathea, see? They had to borrow a place, yet he was God. Prove that he was God. Now you understand. Now watch this. We are not. He stops there. He goes, we are Messiahs. He's the Messiah. We are the Messiahs. But not that Jesus. He is our Father. We're just anointed with his Spirit. And that's the reason his life. Now look, it's the same life. Don't think you're going to get a different Holy Ghost than what he had. It will do the same thing. That's the reason his life. And that gets people. See? Now listen. If you don't set and think it through, it gets people to believe, well, this guy would be the Messiah. People done that with Brother Branham. They said, oh, you must be Jesus Christ. See, they're taking things he had said completely out of context. And look, you don't understand how much that troubled him. He was going to leave the ministry. He was going to commit suicide because they were baptizing in his name.
Sure.
How many of us live that close to God where people think, I'm supposed to baptize in Tom Sproul's name? Now, in one sense, I'd like to live that close. In another sense, I don't want nobody to ever think something crazy like that. And the prophet was the same way. And look, he explains this here. If you don't sit and think it through, it gets people to believe, well, this guy would be the Messiah. Sure he is. Because what does Messiah mean? The anointed one. Look, is this boring to you this morning? Everybody understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm not here to preach to myself now. Well, one time I am, but not the whole time. Sure he is. This one over here could be. They both are.
Right.
So one's a Messiah. Another one's a Messiah. They're all the Messiah. Why? Because even though you have a body, it's not one thing. It's all different parts put together. And the Bible says Christ is the same way. Though he be one, he is many members. And who are his members?
Amen.
Us. Right. We are members of his body. And all together, we make the one body of Christ. And that's exactly the way it is. It's not a different body. It's not a different substance. You are the same makeup that Christ was.
Amen.
You have your position in the body, which is different than mine, which is different than Dad's, which is different than Kyle's. We all have our own position, but we're all made of the same makeup, the same material, the same dynamics, the same mechanics, the same signs. Follow us that believe.
Amen.
He didn't say these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall preach. Or they shall make people feel good. Or they'll give to the poor. He says these signs follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils.
Right.
I'm tired of watching devils walking in church and not getting out the door.
Amen.
That ain't the church of the living God. That's a backslidden church. If devils come in here, sinners off the street come here, and they enjoy service to the point where they don't realize that they're a sinner, something's wrong. Amen. We lost the I am somewhere because Jesus Christ didn't sit around when sin was going on. Whether it was his disciples or whether it was the Pharisees, it didn't matter to him. He told him, your father the devil and his work shall do. He told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yes, he did.
He didn't put up with sin. He got it out the door. And these signs follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. Amen. He doesn't stop there. He says, they shall speak with new tongues. These people that are in the message say, we don't speak in tongues no more. You're denying the word. The word said, we shall speak in tongues. Amen. That's one of the signs of being a believer. They shall take up serpents. And I'll take it natural and spiritual, don't matter to me. You can take up something right there, the world come and bite you on the hand, try to kill you. It don't affect a Christian. We can take it up and we move right on. It don't affect us. We still go to work with a smile. Let some of your loved ones die and you get anointed with the Holy Ghost, you walk right back into work with the same joy you had before.
Sure.
Why? Because we can take up serpents.
Amen.
In His name.
Hallelujah.
And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Remember that, I've said this before, remember that the next time you drink a Pepsi. They drink deadly things, it won't hurt us. Amen. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. There's no, it doesn't say, well, sort of, sometimes, maybe. That's why I love the Bible. It uses good old words like all and shall. And this is the only way it's going to be. Anybody ever looked at the Book of Mormon at all? And I don't mean this. And I respect the Mormon Church. Actually, a lot of them are really fine people if you meet them. They like to live in holiness and things, and I appreciate that. But in the Book of Mormon, and there's a book in the Book of Mormon called the Book of Mormon, and at the end it says something along the lines that if they would have had a big enough plate, everybody know the story of he had these big gold plates, and that's where he wrote the Book of Mormon on, okay? And he says, if our plates were big enough, we would have used Hebrew. But they weren't big enough. So we used Egyptian. And that's why our record has errors in it. You look it up. I'll get you my Book of Mormon if you want to see it. I looked at that and I said, whoa, that's not how the Bible talks. The Bible says you add one word, you take one word out, you're done.
Uh-huh.
This is perfect. Moses was able to say it when he established the law. Christ said it when he came to fulfill the law. The Book of Revelation said it all the way at the end. You take one word out of this. You take your part out of the book of life.
That's right.
You add one thing, you add every plague that's in this book on yourself.
Yes, you do.
It's different when it's I am and not I was or will be. Or there's errors or man made a mistake and that's what messed up God's plan. God ain't dependent on nobody.
Amen.
He's already decreed it. It will happen.
Amen.
He is the I am.
Yes, he is.
Now let me finish that quote one more time to get our position here. And then I'm going to go a little bit different way and we'll finish up.
Good.
We are Messiahs, but not that Jesus. He is our Father. We're just anointed with His Spirit. And that's the reason His life, and that gets people, see? If you don't sit and think it through, it gets people to believe, well, this guy would be the Messiah. Sure he is. This one over here could be. They both are, see? Well, how can there be two of them? There's thousands of them, see? Okay. But you see, His life is separated on the day of Pentecost. When the pillar of fire came down, it separated like tongues and set upon each of them. God dividing Himself amongst His people because the church and Christ is one just as husband and wife is one.
Uh-huh.
Let's turn to this together. John chapter 4. Just a couple pages back there. John chapter 4, verse 47. John 4, 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Then old man saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. What does it say? He had a 4-hour fast and prayer meeting.
Or does it say that he worked up a big service and had a big hoopla going on and that's why he got well? What did he say? Go thy way, thy son liveth. The word has the power. Now, I enjoy having good services. I enjoy fasting and praying. It's to get closer to God. But we don't ever earn anything from God. Ever earn anything from God. Everything we get from God is by grace through faith.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus showed us here. He just said the word. Now watch this. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Now listen to this. I love this. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. So he asked them, what time did he amend? When did he get better? And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew it, that it was the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. So he was able to go back and go, let's find the minute when this thing happened. And that's when he was healed. When Jesus said the word, it came to pass.
Amen.
And as I said, he's the I am. So that was good in Jesus' ministry. Did it stop there? No, sir. Turn to Acts 28. Acts 28, starting at verse 7. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief men of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. You see, that's the same condition that Jesus came upon. That son was dying of a fever. And then he came around, and this man here is dying of a fever. To whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Now, did Paul heal him? Isn't that what the Bible just said? It says Paul healed him. Now, what does that mean? Is the same God that was in Christ, that manifested healing there, had now moved into Paul. And the same God was moving through the body of Paul to heal another man with the fever. And it happened the same instant that he prayed. It said within the hour. The same life that was in Christ could heal a fever then.
Amen.
The same life that came, it moved into Paul, healed a fever then. And I'm here to testify just because it just happened. And this just quickened to me. Back on Friday, my wife woke up with a fever. And it wasn't no fancy thing. We didn't do nothing. I just went over and said, Ellie, let's give God a little time here. Because the Bible said within an hour, you should get well. And we prayed for her. And before, maybe it was an hour around there, she was well. Why? Because the same God that was in Christ was in Paul, and he's in me. And he's in you if you've received the Holy Ghost. The same signs, the same works. He is the I am. He is still here with us. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? People don't believe it. They don't want to walk in it because they're afraid it might fail. Why are you afraid that God would fail? It's not you that's going to fail. It would look like he failed. You go testify on the job and say, I believe that if I pray for you, God will heal you because he said in his word. And we go, and we don't want to say that because we think, oh man, what if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't come to pass? You're not going to look bad. Christ is. You think he's going to let that happen? No, he will not. But if you do it and go, well, maybe you'll get well. Maybe you don't. Forget it. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't expect to get one thing from God.
That's right.
You have to have perfect faith. And how do you get perfect faith? By the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God never wants us to walk alone. That's why he said, I'll be with you even in you to the end of the world. He is always the I am.
Amen.
And you walk into this building, I don't care if you have condemnation, come into him. If you get a revelation that I am is standing here and that he died for you and he took your place and you accept that by faith, you can walk out of here without that condemnation.
Amen.
You walked in here with a sickness, the same method will get you well every time.
Amen.
Even when it comes forward to getting prayed for. If you think that I'm doing something magical up here or there's some fancy formula going on, you're not going to walk out of here well because you're putting faith in something outside of the I am. If you get a revelation that God is standing here, it makes it easy to walk out well.
Amen.
We think if he was, right? If Jesus Christ was here, of course he could heal me. He could just say the word and I believe it. He's already said the word.
Amen.
You need to believe it now.
Amen.
I'm going to finish on this.
Glory to God.
God's provided a way for this day 64. Excuse me. God always has had a way. There's two ways. That's our ways or His ways. Yeah. There's your two picks. You can pick your way. Because we go, oh, no, I'm influenced by this person. No, you ain't. You made the decision. It don't matter who influences you. You have your way by what you've allowed to influence you.
Sure.
You have either your way or God's way, which is the Word. God has a way for today. For He's always made a way for everything. God, at the beginning, know the end. So he has laid out His scriptures for each age. And that age, when it comes along, now don't fail to see this. That age, when it comes along, usually the ministry is so mixed up in isms and so forth and traditions till it's a million miles away from the Word. And He didn't even say just the people. He said the ministry is.
Right.
Because the ministry is what the people are trying to feed on. And if you're feeding them a bunch of garbage, what are they going to go produce but garbage? If you eat a bunch of... Well, you can't eat Twinkies no more. Give me another one. I was going to say a bunch of Twinkies and Coke or something. You eat that, you put filth in, you put a bunch of worthless food in you, that's all you're going to get out. Right. So if that's what the ministry is feeding the people, that's all they can live. That's why Brother Branham said you can't live no higher than your pastor. He wasn't saying that for the pastors to go around and say, hey man, you can't live no higher than me. I'm top dog around here. That ain't why he said that. He said that because the pastors weren't preaching the Word high enough.
Right.
If they're not giving you the food, how can you live up here?
Right.
That's why you can't live higher than your pastor, because that's where you're getting your food. And if all he's giving you is well, you could be well, but I think God's letting you suffer because you need to get more humble. Where's that in the Bible? It's foolishness. Isms.
Amen.
Schisms. Oh, you only get healed when you feel a cool sensation come down. That's when you know you're really healed. Where is this coming from? It's isms. It's little schism, little thoughts people get, and they think it's an absolute.
Right.
You know, Brother Branham one time told what was his name? Dawson Riley. That's why I always remember his name, because my son's name. Dawson Riley. He told Dawson Riley, don't never get rid of that dog. He had a good, I think it was a mountain lion dog, actually. Dawson Riley. Yeah, he said, don't never get rid of that dog. And Dawson Riley knew better than to question that. So he kept that dog. And I guess it was a really good dog. Many people would come by to try to buy that dog because it could get them millions of dollars in lions and everything else. He wouldn't do it. And one day, that dog saved his life. Because I think a lion was going to get him. That dog saved his life.
Uh-huh.
And the prophet looked past the curtain of time a little while and could see way down here, when it hadn't even happened yet, that dog's going to save his life. I better tell him to keep his dog. Now, you want to make a schism out of that? That means don't get rid of your dogs now. Brother Branham told Dawson Riley, keep your dog. That means you keep your dogs. You see how that's a little ism, a little schism you come up with, and that causes the foolishness that we have in the message.
Sure.
Another one, Brother Branham said he didn't like cats. That means shoot your cats now. Get them all out of your house, because Brother Branham didn't like them. He didn't tell us to do it. He even says one time, he says, you like having a cat? That's fine. You go ahead, but I just don't like them. You know, he's a human. He's allowed to like things and to not like things. How many like turkey?
Uh-huh.
You like turkey? Is it okay if I tell you I don't really like turkey all that well? Is that all right? Well, Brother Branham liked turkey. If Jesus liked turkey, I need to like turkey. That's foolishness. It's schisms. And the Bible even says that. Don't judge a man by meat and drink and apparel and all this stuff. Judge him whether he's got the Holy Ghost or not.
Right.
Judge him when he says the Word doesn't come to pass or not. That's what we need to start judging people by.
Right.
Judge it by the Word. Not by little opinions, not by little schism. Judge them whether the I Am is in their life or not.
Amen.
Whether He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I wish other people, I guess, come for prayer, because my wife, I was thinking another time. This is just the other day. She hadn't gone at a bowel movement all week. I think it was a whole week. And I just thinking about it and praying. And finally, it was one morning. Yeah, it was yesterday morning, wasn't it? Is that Saturday or Friday? One of the two. I don't remember which one for sure. It's all right. We're just laying there. And I'm telling you, just be yielded to God. That's my only advice to anyone. How do I overcome, brother? Yield to God. That's all I do. I don't earn it. I don't worry about what I did yesterday. I just ask God to forgive me, and I move on. And I yield to Him.
Right.
And I just trust Him. And this faith just came over me and said, all right, this is the day. And I put my hand on her leg, and I just believed it. I said, Lord, let it happen today. And sure enough, it did. Oh, no, that was coincidence, brother. No, these signs follow them that believe.
Amen.
Whatever you ask, I will do it. And you might not think that's a big deal, but it was to her. And it was to you. It is to God. God cares about what you want.
Yes, he does.
And he's always there. He always wants to make these things real. Let me finish with this quote. God's provided a way for this day, 64. And then God also sends someone on the scene, a prophet. And this prophet, God never changes his system. What God did it one time, he will do it every time. He never changes his system. He never changes his ways. He always does it the same way. Now, let me ask you this. Why do you think God only does it one way? Maybe it's because it's the best way. It's perfect. It doesn't need any improvement. That's why he doesn't come up with two ways. This is the best way. People go, oh, why does God, you know, want me to live holy? Do you know what's the best way you could live? You live in adultery for a little while. You're going to ruin your life. God is trying to keep you from that. You be a thief. Go steal for a while. You'll reap so bad you wish I never would have done that. The reason God has given us even his laws is because they're the best way to live.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't need to improve on it. It's the way we ought to live. It's the best way for us. Not even for him to bully us around. He wants the best for us. He always has. He must do it this time. And through this, God works and vindicates that word. As I spoke to you last night, God doing his own interpretation. God needs no one to interpret the word to him. He interprets it himself by vindicating it and making it real. People want to walk around and make sure that you know they're Christian and this is why they're vindicated and they did this, they do that, blah, blah, blah. Or they don't do this and they don't do that. Don't let that ever be your testimony. The reason you're a Christian is because God comes around and vindicates that you're one.
Amen.
You don't got to go walking around and saying, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. The Bible says they called them Christians.
Amen.
And you need to walk around in a way, yield to the Spirit of God, where they'll look at you and go, hey, I don't know, you know, I might not believe what he believes and all that stuff, but you want healing? Go ask that guy. I have it happen at school all the time. They don't go ask their denominational preachers. They know ain't nothing going to happen. But they'll come ask me. And I ain't saying that to brag. I'm saying because the same God that lived in the Word is living in me now. Because I'm the same Word that it is.
Amen.
And when God says he'll do a certain thing, then he does it. There's no more questions to it. That's the way he does it. So God has made a way for us. God loves his children. He loves his people. He wants to help them. Listen to this. Please, if you didn't get anything, listen to this today. He wants to help you more than you want help. If you can just get that in your heart, that God is more willing to help you than you are to help yourself, but he has a way. And that's the only way that he'll work through is his way. You must come to his terms, not your terms, his terms. You want it a certain way, but he gives it to you his way. Yeah. Why? Because we think we got it figured out. We think we know the best way, but we're stupid.
Uh-huh.
Okay, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows what that action would produce, and his way is the best way.
Amen.
Always. Let's stand together.
Glory. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Bow our heads together. Every head bowed, every heart open to God. Say, Brother Andrew, I know I believe what you said today. I believe he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I believe he's alive right now. And I have a request of him. I may be not happy like I ought to be. I might have a sin in my life that I don't want to be there. But I'm trusting right now that Jesus Christ is the I Am and that he's standing right here in the midst of us. And I want to raise my hands to him to ask him to take these things from me and to fill me with his Spirit anew. If that's your desire, let's just raise our hands to him and let's just pray. Pray in your own way and I'll lead in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the word this morning, showing us, Lord, that we don't have to go look in a mirror. We don't have to look in the future, Lord, but we can look right now and find you, our loving Savior, here to take care of us, to mold us, to make us. For you predestinated us to make it to heaven. You predestinated us to be like you, Father, and we just want to yield to that this morning. We're not here to work up. We're not here to make something happen. We're here to let God reign in our hearts. Father, we just pray that you take every little ounce of unbelief out of us, Lord Jesus. By the precious blood that you shed for us, may it just wash us white as snow anew, Father. Wherever we let down the bars in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would drive that out of us and that the standards would be raised again, Father, and that the floodgates of heaven could flow like they're supposed to through us. I pray if there's one sickness in this room, Father, that it would be healed this moment by the spoken word, that you are the same yesterday, day, and forever, and that you want us to be healed.
healed. If there's one soul that's not saved, I pray, Father, that you'd be able to open their hearts, Lord, by their repentance, and be able to get in there and fill them with your Spirit. Lord, we commit each heart to you, each soul, each life. May you just have your way in our lives. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you, Lord. For we know that before we even spoke these things, Lord, you knew we'd say it, and you were already moving on the scene. We thank you for taking care of us, Lord, all throughout the week even, just from Wednesday to today. Lord, that we're all still alive, we're all feeling good, and we're all still Christians. Thank you so much, Lord, for taking care of us. Just lead us to the next step. Lead us to the next path that you would have for us. Help us to die to our own thoughts, die to our own opinions, Lord, and just take up our cross, your word, and walk with it in perfect faith. Help us, Father, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen, amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Might not be no surprise, I'm going to sing this. 238. If you have a need, I believe you can just raise it. I mean, I can feel his presence here. If you believe that's him, you can just raise it up to him, and I believe he'll answer you. Even if it's just a closer walk, I believe he's here to give that to us. 238. I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no other highway that a child of God should go. Though the road be steep and rough, if he leads me, it's enough. I want God's way to be my way every day.
You ever heard that song? You got it now.
I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no other highway that a child of God should go. Though the road be steep and rough, if he leads me, it's enough. I want God's way to be my way every day.
And I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there's no other highway that a child of God should go. Though the road be steep and rough,
I want God's way to be my way every day. Let's go to 226.
God have
his water. Lord, you had a woman that come and just touched the hem of your garment. She was healed with something she had for years and years and years. Went to every physician, tried to find healing, couldn't find it, but found it in you. Lord, and I believe my sister's got faith to know that she's not touching me, she's touching you, Father. We just pray that her body, Lord, would just be healed, and the sugar would take care of itself, Father, that she wouldn't have to do this anymore. Lord, she's trusting you. We've asked it to be so. We thank you for it, Lord. We cast you out of here, Satan. We quit telling her any doubting thoughts, and we just let her walk in perfect faith. Thank you, Lord, for healing. In Jesus Christ's name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go believe. Go believe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Go and let God have his way. Turn to him.
way. Oh, let's just let go. Let's worship Him with all our hearts now.
Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrow will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have.
Oh, one more time with all our hearts now. One last time. Thank you, Jesus, for your way.
Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrow will vanish, your night turns to day. Let go and let God have His way.
Hallelujah. How many's thankful for His way? Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy grace.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just praise Him now. Isn't He worthy? Isn't He worthy?
Oh, we thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free.
Oh, can we just give Him a hand clap of praise this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, don't let this message this morning go in one ear and out the other. When we walk out there, guess what? God's still the I Am. He's still going to be there. You're on the job. Guess what, Brother Tom? He's still there. He still wants something you to do. What does He want us really to do? Just love Him. Amen. Just love Him. You fall in love with God a little bit. Love a little bit more than you did yesterday. Watch who you start talking about when you talk to your coworkers. When you're talking to your family. Going, oh man, I just can't. It's just bubbling over. I just got to tell people what Jesus did. Because He's still the I Am. Aren't you grateful for that? Amen.
Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I'm
were you wretched? 206.
Wretched and vile, now can say, praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. I'm a child.
Oh, you're grateful. I'm so happy I'm a child.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child.